Everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to take a look at chapter 8 of Romans today. Chapter 8 of Romans. With chapter 8, it starts off with the need of righteousness and her righteousness being provided and experienced. And then we look toward with the end of righteousness with the givings of hope and assurance. And it's basically a continuation from chapter 7, which closed with the deliverance of Jesus through from the wretched state of the body and the law of sin, which is in our members. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And we're under in the fact that we all sooner or later sin. And since there's a real deliverance through Christ, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Whoever has Galatians 5:16, could you read that, please? Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Which supports what we have there in Romans chapter 8. And with the, when Paul is talking about the law of the Spirit of life, and Jesus Christ made us free from the law of sin and death. And we're still continuing, therefore, the concept in the place of law and a Christian's relationship to it. And Romans, who has Romans 6:18-22.
Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have the fruit of the holiness in your life.
And having been set free from sin, which is what we talk about in chapter 6 of Romans, then on down we have having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end, everlasting life, which is what hopefully we're moving toward, or at least trying to prepare. Who has Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:45? Okay. And Romans 7:24-25.
O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Okay, thank you. In particular, do we hear a clear sense of freedom, you know, from certain laws? Let me take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. Who has that? Okay. You know, we're free from the law of sin and death, which could be equated either with the law of Moses or with that tendency that constantly in our members through which Satan attempts to tempt us in sin. In either case, you know, the Christian system and the salvation in Jesus gives us a freedom, you know, from this. Whatever this law of sin and death is, it is something that is clearly not good. And to be completely overcome through Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ might be interpreted as the principle of becoming united with Christ and saved by Him, which is available in Christianity, you know, for all of us. But with either of these cases, it is something that is something we all desire, I think, and something that we recognize. We have hopefully we'll have a victory in and through Christ, and as we have a comparison of the spiritual defeat necessary under the old system. In verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And of course here the what the law could not do, it clearly refers to the law of Moses. Any of you have any thoughts on this area as far as yes?
Christ was made to be sin, so I could have His righteousness. and his righteousness is 100% as long as I walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It gives me such hope and peace. I couldn't, if I lived like that man and that wretched man in seven, I would be constantly upset. But he shows me I could live with his help and his guidance and the Spirit to help me overcome sin. Then he provides a way if I make mistakes. 1 John tells me that if I walk in the light as he's in the light, I have fellowship with him, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from sin. And if I sin, then he's faithful and he's just to forgive my sin when I confess it. So I have all these things going for me. I can't possibly be that wretched man.
Yeah. And it's and what chapter 8 does is expanding more. You know, like you said, from 7 and giving us more guidance and more direction and hope.
That's why we have peace and hope. And hope isn't just desire. In the Bible, hope is desire plus expectation. And I can expect, if I continue to walk after him, that I'll have victory as a body before finding that we have victory in Christ.
And that's our goal.
And that's
yeah. Yes?
What is the role of the Spirit in all of this?
I think somewhere it referred specifically. Yes?
The role of the Spirit is to help our weaknesses and to help us put to death the deeds of the flesh. And he also makes intercession for us when we don't know
how to pray. So
he's very active in our life. If we
realize him,
he's there to help us.
It's like a guidance.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Anyone? You know, the law of the Spirit, as we're kind of related there, in life, in Christ Jesus, might be interpreted as the principle of becoming united with Christ and saved by him, of which, you know, as I said before, is which, you know, what Christianity is all about and is available to each of us that so desires to follow in that way. With the law of Moses, we find that it has weaknesses and it's merely a legal system, which is dependent on human merit rather than upon the merits of Christ and his blood atonement. The fact that the law of Moses was weak is because it is of the flesh, and no human can live a perfect enough life not to need our Savior. And whatever sort of legal system we might be living under, we all need Christ. You know, thus, of course, without Christ, defeat is inevitable. And we don't, but with Christ, we have hope and victory. The way that God gave us hope of victory was to send his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh to overcome its power and consequences. Thus it goes on in verse 4, the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled, which means that the purpose of our goal to which the law of Moses led, but the purpose of goal which could never be achieved under our present our program, or as is laid out by Christ. Thus, in Christ, we have victory, and with the law of Moses pointed toward and hoped for, but which was impossible under that kind of a system. Someone that had Galatians 5:16. I mean, they read that once. Who has that again? Galatians 5:16. You have it? Could you read that again, please?
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which, again, you know, supports what we have here in chapter 8. Romans 6:12. Who has Romans 6:12? Okay. Okay. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. See, with that, we have those who are united with Christ spiritually are able to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And to walk in this connection means to live and to conduct oneself after the flesh, and after the Spirit means walking in harmony with each of these programs, sin or righteousness, respectively. In verse 5, then, it goes on, and they are after the flesh, and mind the things of the flesh, meaning that those who are living in harmony with fleshly desires and sin and unrighteousness give attention to and show interest in such things. While those who mind things of the Spirit will give attention and show real interest in spiritual matters. Galatians 5:22-25. Who has that? Galatians 5:22-25. Could we really do any better than that? I think it would probably be difficult to. John 15:2. Who has that?
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Okay. Following along with the same thinking there. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Who has that?
Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Some more thoughts would be good to follow after. You know, in this area, we're dealing with the word mine, which in one case there in verse 5, and then moving on to 6 and 7, where the word mind is a noun. The first time it's used up there in 5, it's a verb. So we have to keep that in mind as we try to follow this. In the mind of the flesh is death, but in the mind of the spirit is life and peace. And as a noun, it means the attitude of the flesh or the attitude that shows interest in the flesh. And the result of this is that we have the mind of the flesh is the ultimate spiritual death. But to have the attitude of interest in spiritual things really means bringing spiritual life and peace. Then on in verse 7, Paul points out, because of the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God. Neither can it be, and they are in the flesh, cannot please God. This mind of the flesh is enmity against God, because as long as it maintains the attitude of interest in fleshly and worldly or non-spiritual things, it is absolutely contrary to God's purpose for humans. And we are obligated in God's will and God's law, but it does not choose to subject itself to God's law or submit itself in consequences as long as we choose it. Someone has Romans 8, verse 9. No, it didn't. I had that one. Noted it there. Okay, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. For ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Christians have come in, who have come into Christ and have left the world, and the fleshly things of the world, have been reborn as new creatures in Christ and not in the flesh. And are not living a life after the flesh, but rather after the Holy Spirit. Yes.
In my study, I thought it was interesting that it was pointed out to me that in chapter 7, that miserable, frazzled man, it talks 30 times about I. He was trying to be. He didn't, not once was he mentioning that he had the Spirit. The 8th chapter, 20 times it refers to the Holy Spirit, and 20 times, to the Holy Spirit. Under chapter 7, it mentions the law over and over, and under chapter 8, the law is only mentioned 3 or 4 times. So that man that was up there trying to follow God's law didn't have that Spirit to help. And if we try to make it on our own, if we're living with that mindset that we have to make it on our own, failure is ours. And Satan wouldn't like anything more than to make you so discouraged that you couldn't follow God and feel that helpless. You probably just give up after a while. But we can have confidence. And that's why the Romans 8 is so wonderful.
Yeah. And that's, through Jesus Christ. I think probably through Paul, he was trying to, that's probably part of what they were, comparing there, what the situation was in chapter 7. Then going on to chapter 8 and expanding on that and, looking at at God's law instead of following after, the law of Moses. Yeah.
Of coming to a conclusion in his own mind also that while he was a Jew under the law, he was always struggling. And when Christ came to him on the road and he was converted, all of a sudden his past life didn't mean a whole lot of sense. And I think, he was trying to understand, and that's why he's going through Romans trying to make sure everyone else understands how that the law was really a stepping stone, if you will, to Christ. That Christ is so much better now that we have the Spirit, that we don't have to look into the law for any kind of redemption or sacrifices to be made on our behalf. That with Christ, He made the sacrifice, and now that the Spirit is within us, in turn, we have We're dead to the law now. And I think that's what he was looking at. I think he was trying to justify in his own mind. The law, the Old Testament, is gone. He's really creating the idea of this new way of thinking in the New Testament that we live under today. And I think that's what Romans is really showing here, is that, that's gone. It's in the past. Now we've got something that's better, and we can look forward to.
And it's quite a comparison there with what you're saying in looking at chapter 7 and chapter 8, with that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that, I don't see how that can has been traveling with was saying that doesn't sound like it would be how it should be when we come up from the waters of baptism.
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, the way he's struggling just seems...
I think he was trying to illustrate a comparison, you know, between the two. Yeah. You know, like, here's what it was, and here's what we have for the future. Yes?
The whole purpose of law was to prove to them that they couldn't meet the law and that they needed a Savior. That was the whole purpose of them,
mm-hmm.
as far as I understand.
Well, and what Christ has done, basically what is the difference from the basis of the fact being man could not keep the old law. He could not. He sacrificed. He struggled, just as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christ enters into the picture, and he died for all of our sins, okay, that we commit. We put him on in baptism, and we enter and receive the Holy Spirit, and try to walk as Christ walked on the face of the earth. And then, but we... as flesh, which we are, we still struggle. Christ is the out for us on the basis of the fact. As long as we keep our eye on Christ, okay, and walk as we walk, then we have hope, we have salvation, but we still struggle. The old law and away with the new law, but we still struggle. We struggle with fear, we struggle with anxiety, we have the troubles that we individually face, individually or as a group. And sometimes we get our stuff so wrapped up and involved in things that we can't really express ourselves. And to a degree, that's where the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, that he represents us. But we still do struggle. We struggle. Like the Bible says, it's not a short dash. Okay? It's a marathon race that we're in to the end. And when we get to the end, we've been faithful in that.
Our name is written in that book.
Gracious. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The old man struggled and he didn't overcome.
No, the new man struggles too. I'm a new man. I've been baptized in that, okay? I go out in this world, okay? I see the same things that a worldly man does, okay? But I have Christ to help me. It doesn't mean that I don't have some misunderstanding.
No, I
struggle because Christ himself had those troubles. And he was able to do away with those struggles in his life. He would not have anything to do with the devil. Man still has troubles today relative to being a faithful wife.
Well, I think, you know, they had struggles then, we have struggles today, but
we have
Christ as a guidance in helping us to overcome those struggles in reality. Yes?
When you talk about the laws that were before, you had the Ten Commandments, and then you had laws that were given, some by God, but many of them were, from my understanding, by the Pharisees and different leaders of the Jews that made it so hard. Is that are you talking about the Ten Commandments and the laws that God gave afterwards, or parts of it, such as how to prepare your camp, how to, I don't know if it's more instruction versus law, but you won't do this, you'll do this. Where you talk about was very hard for people, Paul's talking about it, are you comparing both of those laws, sets of laws? The God given
and
man-made, or just
the God? God's law. There was no person on the face of the earth that followed the Ten Commandments 100% The only person who did was Jesus Christ. No man could follow the Ten Commandments. 100% of the time. All of the time. That was one of the reasons why it was done away with.
Yeah, John, you have along that line?
Even Christ talked about the laws that you were referring to, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and so on. Talking about, you know, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is still dirty. He was referring to some of the laws that were passed after the Ten Commandments. Yeah. In this case that they're talking about here, I think they're talking about the fact that Christ didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. Once the law was fulfilled, the law can be done away with. I think that includes all the laws that Christ, our God, had given us, both the Mosaic and the man-made laws that came in afterwards. But the thing of it is verse 8 and 9 of Romans 8, where it talks about the fact that since you are baptized and you have the Spirit of God within you, in turn, that Spirit is helping you in the times that you are in a sinful realm to try to overcome it.
But exactly.
At the same time, it says that in verse 8, that those controlled by a sinful nature. Well, that's a big difference than a person that is controlled by the Spirit but in a sinful situation. I think there's a difference there. I think we've all been in situations where we shouldn't have been. You know? But it's the attitude of the Spirit that's helping you through those situations. And I think that's what it's talking about here. It's the ones that are controlling you. You know, if you are a sinful person being controlled by sin, you're not with God. But if you're a Christian that is after a spiritual nature, but you happen to get into a sinful situation, you're still not being controlled by it. You have a way of justification through Christ to come through. I think that's what he's talking about.
If you will take the way up that is offered. It says here, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Correct.
Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. For every temptation that you are faced with, God will provide a way out. But you have to be intelligent enough and remorseful enough to take that way out.
Yeah.
Just like Bill from Grant from Bob Fitzwright. Why? You run, man. You go. You get away.
Exactly. And then if we go on and look here at verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're past time. I guess it's not the easiest place to wrap up, but we'll wrap it up for today and let Tom take us next week. Thank you. Thank you for all your reading and comments.